The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday. It is Tuesday, January 5th, 2015. I'm Doug Hagman in studio with Joe Hagman, fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to welcome our listeners live. Folks, we broadcast live every weekday, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. As heard live on the Global Star Radio Network, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank Global Star Radio Network for being part of our broadcasting or being carrying our show as the primary source of our broadcasting venue. Folks, you can also tune us in live at Blog Talk Radio, BTR, or simulcast there live. You can also watch us on our YouTube channel, our official YouTube channel. Links to each of those are located on HagmanandHagman.com. That's our internet presence.
And the YouTube will be available shortly. I screwed something up, and Eric's fixing it, so it will be up in a moment. I wonder, people would pay good money to see the hour before the show starts behind the scenes, I think.
Yeah. Anyway.
It certainly is something.
Folks, we dig deep into the topics of capture. Mass media don't. They won't and will never do. While many people adhere to the coincidence theory of current events, geopolitics, history, whatever, we don't. We look at the conspiratorial aspect, awakening others to the truth and the real news behind the headlines. And we did that yesterday. I think we had a good show yesterday. We talked about The Economist, folks. We brought it back here, The Economist magazine. We talked about that at length yesterday, and I thought it was just fantastic. There's so much in this magazine, and we know that the Illuminati, they use symbolism. Well, the powers, if you want to call them the Illuminati, they use symbolism and telegraph what they're going to do. Yeah. I also wanted to mention, folks, that we will be talking, if we have the opportunity. I hope everyone who listened to last night's show, I hope everyone understood exactly what happened in the East Room of the White House today with respect to Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoru, and his executive actions. I hope everyone understands the ramifications that are going to be coming from this and, of course, what we need to watch for. Anyway,
did you notice what time he came out?
What time was that? Yes. I mean, well, he was scheduled for 11:40.
Right.
And he was scheduled for... Well, he was scheduled for 11:40, and it's interesting. I've gotten some emails, the people running the numbers. In fact, Matt Peterson had sent me an email about some of the numerology of it. Researcher Matt Peterson from Daily Crow.
Yeah, and he said if he had to guess that it would be 11:44 when he came out to give the speech, and I don't know.
You know, guessing aside, Obama mentioned I, me, myself, whatever, a total of 76 times, and that's 13, of course, a hidden 13, or a number 13, which is a number of rebellion. And it's interesting because this is exactly what we're seeing with respect to this particular rebellious act of the renegade in the White House. And, of course, everyone needs to understand that we are this is an extremely perilous situation, and you need to know this is extremely perilous. I would imagine over the next couple of days you're going to see brisk gun sales. You're going to see ammunition fly off the shelves, much like after Sandy Hook. So
December was the highest month for background checks.
Right. In 2015, and
that trend
general was the same. Yeah.
An increase.
That's right. But you know what? Now, we have a special guest tonight, folks. I want to tell you something. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying, if you go, there are people, of course, unless you're living under a rock, you know, you're probably aware that there's this big controversy over New Age teachings and what have you, and terminology. there's one thing that I was talking with Steve Quayle at length today about this very topic. And I said, Steve, you've written many books. In fact, we were talking about Xenogenesis, his book Xenogenesis today. And, chapter 13, page 233, I believe it is. Nothing with the numbers intentional, but, he was talking about the rainbow and light and the frequency of light. But you know, folks, isn't it interesting that music affects the way we live? I mean, affects our moods. Music has this dramatic effect on just about everything that we do. Frequencies, I should say, more specifically, have a dramatic effect on just about everything we do.
And stuff music, like chance at sporting games to
sure.
radio, the top 40 billboard
sure.
to the, many people tend to focus on the extremes, one being, heavy metal, dark, evil type music, and then you have the opposite of that, which could be country, which could be gospel, but there are things that happen in the subconscious, just like when you watch TV. There are sounds that can be produced, or a bunch of sounds in a certain order can invoke feelings, can invoke different
right.
thoughts, negative or positive.
And don't forget, and Steve Quayle reminded me of this too. You know, music of King David, and of course the frequencies and different frequencies as God spoke the world into existence. And you know, there's been much discussion about this. Well, we've got a special guest tonight, just a tremendous guy.
Yeah.
He's a born again Christian. He's a Christian. He's a believer. He has, as a matter of fact, Joe, I think you've got some of his, well, you spoke with him at length today.
Yes. I had a great conversation with him, and I had not talked to the man before today. Knew about his product, obviously, and heard testimonies of people who have used their product that have given positive feedback.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we've received any negative feedback.
Oh, we haven't. Not at all. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Let me make this announcement first.
That notebook.
Let me make this announcement here first, folks. If you're listening to us, but if you're attempting to get us on YouTube, apparently we have some issues. We are on Global Star Radio Network and Blog Talk only right now. We are having some issues syncing the video. Okay, it's not, don't adjust your sets. So we're having some issues syncing the video, so we're not on video right now. And, so that way at least I'll have time to change out of my pajamas, right? We're not on video right now. Eric, the tech, he's hard at work getting the video back or getting the video up, so, want to thank you for your patience there, but Michael Terrell, And I've been pronouncing his name Terrell, and apparently it's Michael Terrell, is just a fantastic guy with, he's done a lot of research investigation and ended up with a fine product, the Whole Tones Live.
Life experiences, product investigation, including life experiences, including, yeah. How the Lord, we have our own paths, and some people find their paths, which will be referred to, or people refer to as their destiny, and those who don't. And Mr. Terrell had followed the Lord, and the Lord has led him through a number of things. And we talked about these things during the show. We shared some similar experiences. One of the things that caught our attention, first and foremost, is he said he was a pastor. And
Let me stop you there. I don't mean to interrupt and keep interrupting and interjecting,
right.
but I wanted to make sure everyone knows that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Casper Mattress. I need to do this because sometimes it gets away from me and I forget. Casper, what a great product Casper Mattress has. Folks, Casper Mattress has they've revolutionized the way people sleep. I mean, a Casper mattress, in case you haven't heard about Casper, or in case you don't know about Casper mattress has got just the right sink, just the right bounce. They unite a couple of technologies together for better nights sleep, brighter days. It's a fantastic product. Our family sleeps on Casper mattresses. folks, go to CasperMattress.com. That's C-A-S-P-E-R. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Go to Casper.com. That's Casper.com. That's Casper.com / CFP Radio. That is C like Canada, F like free, P like press, radio. That's Casper.com / CFP Radio. And there you will see, welcome to Casper from Hagman and the Hagman Report. Go shopping. Go shopping and take advantage right now of the offers that they have. More about this later. But again, portions of my broadcast brought to you by Casper.com / CFP Radio. That's Casper.com / CFP Radio with the radio code CFP Radio. So having said that, and they're just got a fantastic product, and what a wonderful night's sleep and brighter days ahead for you if a new mattress is in your future, and I hope it is. But back to the subject at hand. Steve Quayle and I were talking about how, if you're in a room, for example, you're bombarded with really frequencies. It's an amazing thing. And it's an amazing thing how we're seeing, and I believe this to be true, where certain frequencies, you know, we've talked about Gwen Towers and all of the harp technology and everything, how this affects one's moods, how it affects or has the ability to alter one's moods. Right. Notice, too, there's weapons used by the federal government and other governments that use sound at frequencies, okay, to affect a certain or invoke a certain response from the public.
Well, think about this. When you are on hold, you call anything from cable companies to any service you call and they put you on hold. That time can be used to share information or relay information to people. Instead, they put this music on. I always wondered why. Why music? Why not use that time wisely and teach something of value?
Well,
I mean, there's a lot, especially in the younger generations. They have become more, music has become more ingrained in their way of life. And I was like that when I was younger. And it's only by the grace of God that he took me away from that, or those cares of music and entertainment, all that stuff, out of my life.
And I
remember telling you, I used to listen to rap music when I was a kid. And my father would find the CDs or tapes and destroy them. And I remember telling him, and I meant it, I'll never stop listening to this. You remember
that's
that?
Right. Yeah, and I would tell him, look, music has an effect, and especially the rap and heavy metal, all of this. You cannot listen to this kind of music and not be affected by it. And we know this from worship music as well, and I don't want to take time away from our guest because he's got some valuable insight. But the bottom line is this. Anyone who doesn't think, for example, that the subject matter at hand tonight, that being music and frequencies, okay, there are two specific items here. If you think that this is irrelevant to anything current day, oh, you're sadly mistaken. And also, there's the problem of music and frequencies bombarding us, and then there is the biblical solution, the proper frequencies in music. Okay, so there's the problem that we have, but then there's also the solution that is being made available to us. And our guest tonight, Michael Terrell, is going to describe the solutions and describe to you how this can be beneficial to you, especially in the day in which we live. Now, Michael Terrell's website is wholetoneslive.com. Just like it sounds, wholetoneslive.com, wholetoneslive.com. And he's a gifted man. I have his products. You can download his free samples of his music. And this is, so, and I just want to caution everyone, okay, to those people who hear the word frequency and think New Age, or hear the word, or whatever. This is not, and you know what? You can, please understand, this is not in any way, shape, or form New Age, related, okay?
New Age talks about frequencies as relating to changing our ability to accept the Christ consciousness, which is the collective mindset, which is the mindset of the dark side. And because the terms are similar, and they do this sometimes on purpose, sometimes it's coincidence, but just because it's like the ancient aliens. Every show they do, they lay out some cases to why this is supernatural, then they just point to aliens.
Right. And I'm not, and look, folks, we're not going to make any excuses whatsoever, because none are necessary. We're talking about a legitimate topic here. And again, we don't need to preface it any more, but open your mind and understand what this guest is saying. Michael Terrell and WholeTonesLive.com is the website, and understand that you're about to really be educated in both frequency, how it's used against us, how it can be used for us. And that's very important, and how it could really, enrich your lives. And that's all I want to tell you. Now, the reason it sounds a little bit disjointed here, in the event we sound disjointed, there's a lot of stuff going on to bring up the video behind our audio broadcast. All right, so we are still working on that.
No,
we are live on YouTube. Okay, however, it is merely a splash screen. Okay, until for probably the next 5 minutes or so, it's going to be just merely a static screen. So I just want to let
with
people
audio.
Know. With audio.
Okay.
Okay. And then in a few minutes, bang, we'll be pictured live. Without further ado, Joe, introduce our guest, please.
Absolutely. As we said earlier, I had the pleasure of talking with Mr. Terrell, and it was a great conversation. I'm not even going to continue to talk about that, because I'm just going to bring him on and let you guys have a listen to him yourself. Mr. Terrell, it's great to have you on the program. We thank you for your trust in us as a outlet to advertise your product, and we have received nothing but positive feedback from listeners who have used your product, and some say it's actually helped them in different areas. And you said something very important off air to me. You started by saying it's not my product that heals or fixes anything, but the Lord does.
It's with an honor to be with you guys. It really is. I've been thinking about it all week, and I'm very thankful for your ministry and for this radio station, and I do believe that pretty soon there'll be light to the sound. I'm looking forward to when you guys have full video capabilities. And I think the most important thing that just to set some kind of bedrock is that I think a lot of times people, the Bible's real quick to say that we don't judge each other by the flesh, but every man by his spirit. And I think that more and more Jesus was very forthright when he said that we should, you know, we're judging fruit here, the produce of a man's life. And I've noticed that since I had this revelation of Whole Tones, which I'll try to unpack a little bit tonight, I've noticed that I had completely the opposite response that I had expected from people like myself that are born-again Christians. And I think that a lot of times we underestimate the power of God. We underestimate the power and God's expectations on the church. And I think that regardless of who we are, there's always that possibility that that we can be hateful and judge each other in the name of Jesus, if you will, and miss the very spirit of God himself. I want to do my best tonight to demystify mystical things and to very easily erase any connection with New Age or any Kundalini Christianity or anything spooky or metaphysical. It's anything but that. In fact, one of the chapters of my book, Whole Tones, The Sound of Healing, is dedicated to making sure that Christians understand where the information came from, and more than anything else is that it would be literally impossible for you to broadcast, for us to communicate now over the telephone line, for us to even have a thought unless there wasn't a frequency involved, because that's the elemental genus behind the creation. And it, we find it in the book of Genesis right away when it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and it was empty. It was void, dark. And the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters. But I love this. This is what starts everything. And God said, my friends, it's absolutely impossible to speak without frequency. The moment your tongue vibrates, you're already creating a frequency. And I think the quickest way to probably dismiss even the smallest connection to New Age is simply this. If you've noticed, no one ever taught you this, but when you see a newborn baby, I have this beautiful new niece, and I think she's the most beautiful little girl in the world. And but as soon as I went in to see her the first time, oh, I saw a sudden, I started talking to her like this. Oh, Gabby, I love you. And I thought, you know, I never thought about that, but why do we do that? Well, we do that because, believe it or not, children, you can tell all of you, all of our female listeners that have ever had a child, you know, when you get your sonogram, the heart beats so fast you get nervous at first, but it's beating twice the rate of a human heart. And in the same way, their abilities of their senses are heightened in that higher frequencies. It's really amazing. I'll try to unpack a lot of this. There's a lot to talk about tonight if you have the time.
Do.
Yeah, well, great. So you have to understand that children, when they're in the not only the formative years, but in the embryonic stage and then in the infantile stage, what moves you is high frequency. And it's part and parcel to your size. If you think about this, right, if you had a really long rubber band, okay, and you were flicking it with your finger, it would be bong, 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 but if you tightened it and really clamped down, it would be bing, 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 bing. It's the same way with our physiology. With a baby, they really respond when you go, goochie, 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 goo, right? Because you're touching their frequency range of their tessitura, where they're hearing and where they can speak. And in the same way, like with dogs and cats, like when we see our dog and our cat, we always talk really, really high. You know, and that for years you could buy a silent dog whistle. Well, let me tell you something. Ask your dog if it's silent. Of course it's not silent, but it's in a frequency range that touches the 20 hertz plus range where we just catch the very tip of the whistle. But for that dog, it's almost irritating, right? So I think the first thing we need to realize about frequency is that from the time of our conception, when we're little, the first time we ever lose our voice, this is heavy, the first time you ever lose your voice or go hoarse is when you're trying to imitate someone else. Did you ever think about that? When you're a little child, the first thing that you hear and that you respond to, believe it or not, is the voice of your father who created the blood that's in your veins. It's not mama, it's dada. Not because there's a pecking order, even though the Bible tells us there is. Not to get myself in any deep water. The bottom line is a child recognizes the father first because he's responsible for the blood that's in the child's veins. With that being said, a lot of times the child will try to imitate the vibration of the sound of the father's voice, which of course they don't have the mechanism, they don't have the vocal cords that could possibly replicate that sound yet. So as soon as they try to talk and they try to stretch those little vocal cords, they go hoarse. In the same way, when you see someone who has an original sound, we could use anybody, but you know, if someone that everybody probably remembers, a folk singer named Bob Dylan, whether you loved Bob Dylan's voice or didn't like Bob Dylan's voice, you could pick it out of a hat. You know, he has this distinct voice. Well, if Bob Dylan would have tried to sing like Frank Sinatra, he would have gone hoarse in probably 2 minutes, right? So yeah. The first thing we have to understand about frequency is it's part of God's design, and it's also appliance. It's very common and very simple if you have understanding. The thing that often makes us smack at that, which, you know, we would attach to New Age or demonic or what, is something simply that we don't understand how it works. And when it comes to frequency, I wrote a chapter in my book called Frequency, F-R-E-A-K, Q-U-E-N-C-Y versus frequency. And there was a reason for it, because even before I released Whole Tones, I cared enough about the body of Christ to make sure that they could understand what they were hearing and understand what was behind this and understand that not only is it safe and not only is it not New Age, it's ancient age. It comes from the very beginning of the genus of Genesis when God Almighty, Elohim, spoke and there was. And an interesting element I find in Genesis 1, since we're on that subject real quick as far as frequency. Remember, if we were to take a giant keyboard, okay, and we exhausted the audio realm, there was no more music to hear. Are we out of frequencies? Well, what do you think light is? What do you think light is? You're right now you're illuminated somewhere in your home. You have either incandescent bulbs or fluorescent bulbs, or you have LED bulbs, or you have whatever these Curlie Q government bulbs are, that mercury, you know, I mean, whatever. You have a bulb. And what's interesting about that is that, that light operates at a precise frequency. See? So if I was to, let's say, for example, this is fun. Let's say we have a giant keyboard. All three of us are together in a room, and we're looking at this absolutely gargantuan keyboard. And I start at the lowest end of the perceivable sonic spectrum of sound. I hit the lowest note, and you can barely hear it, but it's audible. And I meander all the way up to the highest tinkling of tinkly keys, and then I go for one more, and silence. Well, we've entered into what? Another frequency range, where certain animals, certain things would be able to hear that next note. But there's a point where you exhaust the audio realm, which is exciting. That means there's nothing else to hear for any creation. And then guess what the next note would be if there was a note? It would be light. And so here we have God Almighty with his voice who operates in all frequencies at one time say, and God said, let there be light. And it was just absolutely the manifestation of the last possible note being filled. The sonic spectrum of sound with God's voice uttering one syllable did what? Brought it to the next level, which was what? Light. Right. Sound and light was the genus of creation. And what's so amazing about all of that is when you read through the text, I love this part. You go, yeah, the light, cool. And then he's talking about, yeah, the sun and everything. But then he says this. I love this part. It said, he didn't create the sun, the moon, and the stars until the fourth day. So where's the light coming from? His voice. His voice!
It's frequency,
his
right?
Voice.
Right.
It's beautiful. And so here's my point. It's like to take frequency out of the world would mean there would be no world. To take frequency out of your life would mean you would have no life. Your heart couldn't beat. There'd be no respiration, no pulse, no thought, no ability for this body that has a God-given electric charge to function whatsoever if there wasn't a frequency. And what makes it even more fun is if you think, what if I would have shown up at your house, Joe, you know, years ago with a box in my hand, and I said, hey, I got an idea. I'm going to cut a hole in your kitchen, and I'm going to put this box in there, okay? And when I close the door and I hook it up to 110, you know what's going to happen? You can make soup out of water and a few elements, or you can heat up a pizza if you want to, but you can take it out and it won't burn your fingers. You'd say, that guy's nuts, or that guy's a devil, you see. And that's my point about the demonization of things that are elemental and that actually came from our Father, is that so many times we're judging the Holy Spirit, and that's a precarious place to be because none of us know what he knows. None of us. And for us to be standing in the place of the vestibule of heaven, divinely judging other men as if we were the Holy Spirit, It's a very precarious place to be. So if you'd say, well, that man's a devil, well, you wouldn't think I was too devilish after you made your soup. So my point is that we call that today a microwave oven. But there's nothing. I've talked to people that are very cognizant about discernment and knowing the difference between good and evil, but they've never said that they had a problem with their microwave oven. Or how about your radio station? How about what we're listening to right now? If there was no frequency, guess what we'd have right now? No signal, just a lot of noise. Spurious, electrical snapping, but no voice. You couldn't hear me, I couldn't hear you. There'd be nothing to broadcast because there'd be nothing to carry it. So I think that's a good place for us to kick off tonight from a foundational place, is that frequency not only is not New Age, it's how there was an age. It's how there is creation. It's the spark of genius in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that called out of nothing everything. It's the power behind that which is invisible that suddenly is manifested as visible. There couldn't possibly be anything wicked or evil about it. Now, here's where it gets more fun. So, remember the scripture that says the power of life and death is in the tongue?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yep.
So what can
Absolutely.
We construe by that? Are there bad frequencies? Are there evil frequencies? You bet there are. And that's where Whole Tones completely makes a right-handed shift away from all of the New Age, all of the garbage, all of the Kundalini Christianity. And I think I'd like to explain that now that I've laid the the groundwork that frequency is not something that makes us go, it's something that makes us go, I can hear you. I receive, I hear a signal. Years ago, 17 to be exact, I was pastoring at that time in Florida, and I kept sensing there was something wrong with music. And that's really funny when you're also a worship leader and you're training worshipers. But there was something that I couldn't put my finger on, but there was a discernment. There was a buzzer going off that's saying there's something wrong with music. Well, that sounds bizarre, but that's often how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We don't sometimes know exactly what it is that's not right, but we do know something is not right, and we keep pushing until He reveals it. And so I questioned the tuner one day, and you'd say, wow, I've never heard anybody say that. Well, neither had I. I mean, when you go to your local music store, maybe some of you listening have children that have decided they want to play a musical instrument, you know, hopefully the guitar, hint, hint. You know, hopefully the guitar, and you go into, you know, your local guitar center, Sam Ash, and you say, I'd like to buy my kid a guitar for his very first instrument, and they'll go, great, and you're going to need a guitar tuner. And they're, okay, that's fine. Yeah, obviously we tune the guitar to the tuner. Mm-hmm. But I questioned the tuner. And that's what kind of set everything into motion. And some of the things that happened afterwards, like I said, the rest is history. Is it God? Well, it's completely the Holy Spirit. Is it a project or a product that heals you? Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. It's God's voice. It's the same voice that spoke life into the void and into darkness. And it's the same God that moves elementally through everything from Jesus taking the dust of the earth and putting spit in it, rubbing it in a guy's eye and him seeing, to speaking a word and watching someone that had leprosy walk away clean. It's the same thing that worked when Jesus spoke to mere water and it became the finest wine. And note, it wasn't his disciples that said the wine was good. It was a sommelier. It was a trained wedding planner that had tasted many good wines before. And he's the one that exclaimed, you've saved the best for last. And so with that being said, as far as whole tones, I had a revelation, you know, and a lot of people would say, well, big deal, you know, I had a revelation, you know. And the Bible talks about three ways. He says there's wisdom and there's knowledge, which we can also say knowledge if you want to. We could intersperse that if you want, but wisdom, knowledge, and then what? We could say wisdom, revelation. How's that? And then we could say understanding. And so I've met a lot of wise people in my 55 years on this planet. I've met a lot of people with great revelations on this planet in 55 years. But the battery that makes those first two elements work is understanding. You have to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If you don't have understanding, then there's a realm of ignorance to where you're just judging something that you really don't understand. But when it becomes clear to you, and when there's evidence, and when the bottom line is, at the end of the day, when you lay down in bed and you fall asleep and you feel the pleasure of the Lord, you're just happy that he would trust you with something like this. But in essence, basically what happened with whole tones was, like I said, I questioned the tuner. I thought, who came up with what we tune our instruments to? That ended up being, as you read in the book, that was kind of like the trip down the rabbit hole for me, with that one question. And sometimes, hopefully the listeners have had this experience, sometimes there's an elemental question that you'll have that you ask, and the answer changes your whole life. I mean, one thing I've noticed about God in my 55 years of existence is a lot of times when I ask God a question, He answers me with a question. I love that. It's so Jewish. It's called a remez. It means it's a greater question of a question that elicits a greater answer or understanding. So a lot of times I'll ask the Father something and He'll ask me a question. And then His question will help me to understand what the answer really is, as opposed to just giving it to me. It makes you dig a little bit deeper. And so with me digging a little bit deeper, I realized that, guess what? Not everybody does tune to, and I have to try to educate the non-musical folks, the letter A or A, the note A, in the modern tuning of the United States and Canada is A equals 440 hertz, which is a frequency. It's also known as beats. why our tuners are automatically calibrated in this country to A equals 440 hertz. And I didn't have an answer for that. And I just know that as a musician, I travel extensively, and I have been to many countries and noticed that when I tuned to my little tuner that I got at the music store, I was out of tune with the rest of the band in other countries. I began to realize that other countries tune in different frequencies. For example, much of Europe tunes to 432 hertz. Leningrad, Russia, 444 hertz. The Boston Pop Symphony converted to 444 hertz 2 years ago. What am I saying? I'm saying that A, or the note A, equals the value of 440 hertz, 432 hertz, 444 hertz, 445, up to 450 in Venice. All that is are frequencies, and it would be the easiest way to explain that would be if we had a linear radio dial, and we said, we are listening to FM 440, okay? And then we moved it, we are listening to FM 444, we're listening to FM 432. They're frequencies. However, I didn't understand how America had found a central tuning, or what they called the standard tuning. So when you're a kid, or you know, a typical musician, when they first start out, you don't know that the whole world doesn't tune to 440. You assume everybody does. Well, I questioned it, and I, you know what, with everything else, I recommend that every person is Berean, and you question everything. Don't be critical. Don't be. You know, everybody, all of us are operating under our light of revelation that we've been given by the Holy Spirit. Don't be critical of one another. That's division. But test everything. The Bible's clear about that. Be Berean. Test everything. See if it's of the Lord. So my first thing was, okay, why in America, why are we tuning to this frequency? There's a million frequencies. What made us choose this one? Well, that was the beginning of, like I said, of my trip down the rabbit hole. 17 years of research.
I can just interrupt you.
Yes.
Folks, we are talking with Michael Terrell. That's how you pronounce your last name, right? Terrell?
That's correct.
Okay. I always have the oomph elsewhere. Michael Terrell, wholetones.com, correct? Or wholetones.live.com?
wholetones.live.com.
Right, sorry, wholetonesalive.com. And this, what you're about to say, and the reason I interrupted now, is, I think, one of the most fascinating aspects of the story. Go ahead and I just wanted to make sure people are listening.
You stop me whenever you want to, because I might go all night.
Man, and I love it, because this is what you're about to say. You know, why that frequency? Why any frequency? Why 396? Why 417? Why?
Sure.
But go ahead and continue, because I think people really need to understand this in order to understand the value. And also, well, just go ahead, because this is great. All right.
Well, you know, like I said, it was one of the things that immediately, and then I'll get to what I was getting ready to say there. One of the things I realized, and probably a lot of you can empathize, or at least, you know, harmonize with what I'm saying, you know, you can only combine so many chord changes without sounding like the same song. I mean, there's songs you've probably heard before, and the only thing different are the lyrics, you know, the words. But basically, if you take the words away and you play that song and another song, they're identical, because there's only so many combinations of possible, you know, relative minors and familial chords in our modern polyphony. So, you know, when I'm thinking, okay, great, so A equals 440. Well, my whole life as a musician, I made the assumption. Now, assumptions are based on our own personal theology and not necessarily the truth, aren't they? So I had just, as growing up, and everyone else was doing it, everybody else is tuning. I mean, I play saxophone in the band, you know, we tune to A440, everybody else is doing it. If you don't do it, everybody's going to know about it, because you're going to be sharp or flat. So when I did the research, I was absolutely shocked to find out where A equals 440 hertz comes from. Perhaps you remember a man named Joseph Goebbels during Nazi Germany times, the right hand, basically the purveyor of propaganda for Adolf Hitler. Him and Mengele, two of the most evil men, but Joseph Goebbels was more into, instead of the physical, more of the mind control, more of the interrupting of the human electricity, trying to find a way to manipulate the masses. Much of Rule Books for Radicals that was written by Saul Alinsky came from a lot of the writings of Joseph Goebbels. There's plenty online. It just infuriates you to read this because there's never any sense in nonsense, as I mentioned earlier. And so you're trying to make sense of why someone would have this malignant thinking, and it stands the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. There's no light in it. And so this man's whole agenda during wartime, which I found was fascinating, I mean, in the midst of war, his idea was to unify the Hertz tuning of all of the nations. So what you find out quickly about 440 hertz is that it's alien to the physical body. And let me put some legs on that. It interrupts your circadian rhythm. It works against your ability to sleep. It works against your ability to have cognitions. It works against your ability. It causes chaos in the human body. Now here's it's so funny because so many times we always talk about the angel of light and we talk about, how can something that's beautiful, listen, in America and Canada, 80% of the music that's recorded and most of what we listen to, with the exception of the classics, which I'll get into later, is recorded in A equals 440. Now you'd say, well, why? Why is that? Well, I'm going to tell you. I found it fascinating that, like I said, Joseph Goebbels literally went on a campaign to try to get every nation to tune to A equals 440, which is known as the German radio beat, or what they used in propaganda to cause chaos and division. So here's an interesting thing. France was the first country he visited. They absolutely told him, not on your life. Went through all the different countries, and the only two countries that were willing to convert their tuning was the United States of America and Canada. And you'll find that to be absolute fact. There was no other countries that adhered to A equals 440 until Joseph Goebbels launched this massive crusade. And of course, there's all kinds of conspiracy stuff. I won't go deep into that, but there was a lot of funding from Americans, Henry Ford being one of them, that funded the Nazi right, and it gave a whole lot of credibility to the Germans finding the standard tuning. Really interesting is in Germany today, they tuned to 432 in Germany. Come on. They don't even use 440 because it was absolutely contrapuntal and counteropposed actually to our wiring and how God in his infinite genius created us to operate. So that was the first big revelation. That was the first thing that gave me kind of an aha that we need to change this. And I need to dedicate my life to finding the music that was at the time of Christ, that was in the first century church, that was in the music they listened to in Israel, the music that King David wrote, the music that was in the upper room. I had to find that music. But to set out on a task so daunting, if it's not revelatory and you're not brought there, you'll never, ever find it. It's like being it's like watching one of those, Indiana Jones movies where he's out looking for the Holy Grail. You'll never find it. If you put sweat equity into it and strife and you try to do it in your strength, only the Holy Spirit can lead you to a revelation that can make such a great positive change in people's lives. And it has to be through love. It has to be the right impetus. If you're doing it for yourself, it's a waste of time. If you can uncover something that was working during the time of Christ and during all of King David and King Solomon's time, what an amazing discovery. And so, again, by subtraction, not because there was any plan. I happened to be on a trip with my spiritual dad, Don Finto. At that time, he was the pastor at Belmont Church, and I was working with the youth then, and just an absolute lover of God. And if it wasn't for Don, I probably never would have gone into the ministry because I saw so much junk in the ministry. But then I spent time serving with somebody that was the real deal. And anyway, on one of our trips to Israel, it was really funny. We got to Ben-Gurion Airport, and I said, so are we going to get a GPS? And he goes, oh, no, we have one. I said, no, we don't. He goes, we have a God positioning satellite. I was like, wow. He goes, I said, so what do you want me to do? First of all, he gave me the keys, which wasn't wise because I have a terrible sense of direction, especially in a country that I've never driven on before. But anyway, he said, Michael, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get in that car, and we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we're only going to stop when he says stop, and we're going to drive unless he says stop, and we're just going to let this be the whole way the trip goes. And I thought that was fascinating. I'd never been on a trip that wasn't a planned trip. And so, and there are some funny stories we might get to about all of a sudden driving in the wrong direction and ending up in Hamas territory with guns in my face because I have terrible sense of direction, but maybe that's for another night. But the point of it was is that the very first day after we left the Christian quarter in Jerusalem, Don looked at me with this puzzled look on his face, and he said, I have an inkling that if we go downtown to a coffee house, that a man that I know named Reuben Duran, who lives in Tel Aviv, is going to meet us at this coffee house. I said, so wait, let me get this straight. So we're going to a coffee house, and there's a guy that doesn't know that we're here that lives in another city who's going to show up there and meet us. He goes, precisely, that's what I feel the Spirit of the Lord saying. Well, I thought this was fascinating, the whole thing. And he said, and I believe there is something there for you. So, you know, I got in the rental car, drove into Jerusalem. We found a place to park outside this little coffee house, went in and sat down. And as soon as I sat down, there was a piano player playing in the corner. And I looked over at him, and he was smiling and staring at me. And it was really weird at first. It was kind of like, turn away. You know, it was awkward, you know. But I didn't really know what was going on until I closed my eyes and started listening to what he was playing. We were in an ultra-Orthodox coffee house, and he's playing instrumental worship songs that all of us would know. I mean, stuff that we, you know, back then it would probably have been, you know, maybe Hill songs or, you know, some of those types of songs anyway, the corporate worship songs that we would already know and love. And he's playing them instrumentally inside this ultra-Orthodox coffee house. And I'm thinking, this is, and now I realize why he's staring, why he's laughing. He's understanding that I'm a believer and I know what he's doing and that he's getting away with it. And so during his break, he came over and he said, hi, I want to introduce myself. My name is David. And I said, of course it is. What else would it be, you know? And he said, no, listen, serious. He said, my whole life's work has been transcribing the Psalms, and Yeshua said, I'm supposed to give you all of my work. Can you stay a while till my next set, and I'll go to my car, and I'll bring you everything? And I just started to cry. I didn't even know why I was crying. There was just, you know, Don said earlier, he said, I just feel there's something for you there, but I didn't know what he meant by that. And so when the piano player went up to play his next set, all of a sudden Don gets on his feet, you know, my pastor, and he looks at the door and he starts laughing, and I see a guy walk in and he runs over to him and starts talking to me. It was his friend Reuben Duran, who just felt like he was supposed to drive in from Tel Aviv and meet him in this coffee house. I mean, so for me it was like a real education in just hearing the voice of God, the frequency of God, and understanding the Holy Spirit and listening and not being cerebral, but just doing what he says. I mean, like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do, I only say what I hear him say. If we could do that, we wouldn't have any problems in the body. We'd have a perfect ministry if we could do that. If we could shut up, if nothing's important to say, and if we could just be idle and not move unless he's moving, what would be the problem? We'd all get along. We'd have absolutely flawless ministries. Nobody would say stuff in the name of Jesus that wasn't really from Jesus, and nobody would build him anything that he didn't want. So here we are. I'm in this coffee house. I'm watching him hugging his friend that he said was going to meet him there, but he didn't know we were even in the country. And now I've got some guy going out to his car to bring me something. Well, he brought me these manuscripts. And he started explaining to me about David and about the type of music there was back then, that there wasn't any true chordal music at that point. It was all melodic. And so he gave me these transcriptions, and I, like I said, I was a mess. I just kept crying, and I felt like he was handing me something that was going to change my life. But when I got back to the States, I realized that it had been transcribed into, guess what, 440. And so when I played it, I didn't feel anything. Are you with me? I didn't.
Oh, yes.
This is funny. So I didn't feel anything at all when I played the music, and so it was such a letdown. Because I thought, this is it. This is the holy grail of music. I'm holding David's Psalms. This is great. But that guy was like a guy that had spent time in the States and had tuned his piano to A equals 440 and thus transcribed it from that frequency. So I didn't know what to do at that point. So to be quite honest with you, I put it in my bottom file cabinet in my office, and I didn't touch it for 2 years. Isn't that funny? I just kind of dismissed it. I stopped thinking about it. But yet every time when I would talk with the Lord, there was so many different things that kept bringing me back to, I know there's something wrong with music. Well, I kept running into different guys on the road. You know, I used to produce music and play music with Jason Upton and Rick Pino and some other worship leaders. And there was this guy that I met, and just a phenomenal musician. And we were having, you know, we were having dinner, and he started talking about the Sound of Heaven, you know, and I'm like, wow, what do you say to that, right? You know, the Sound of Heaven, the Sound of Heaven. And so, you know, we were talking about how so many different people have tried to figure out what the Sound of Heaven is and then try to write the sound and all of that. And, you know, it's exhaustive. You know, we have all kinds of prophetic words that we talk about. The Lord's going to give us the Sound of Heaven, the Sound of Heaven, you know, and I, who wouldn't want that, right? And so after I had this meeting with my friend, I went home and I was kind of pacing upstairs, and this is really going to be heavy when I connect the dots for you, but I just said to the Lord out loud, I said, Lord, when are you going to give me the Sound of Heaven? And he said, I'm never going to give you the Sound of Heaven. And then there was a delay, and I thought, wow, that was harsh. He said, until. He said, until what? He said, until you come on the field of worship with your sons. And I thought, with my sons? I don't have any children. So, I mean, come on. All of us have played Where's Waldo with God. You know, he says something, and we don't always understand it right away. We just kind of go, wow, I know that was God, but I can't say I really got my head wrapped around that. So anyway, so I just packed all that stuff away, like I said. 2 years later, I was reading the book of Isaiah. You know, I just, it was my morning devotion time. I was reading the book of Isaiah, and I came across the, you know, Isaiah 22:22, you know. And I started reading that scripture, and I started laughing all of a sudden. And my wife came, and she said, what are you laughing about? And I said, I know the story. I know about Shebna. I know that this is talking about the actual physical key of the house of David. You know, behold, I place upon your shoulder the key of David and open doors that no man could open and shut doors that no man could shut. You know, Isaiah 22:22. And I know the story. I understand the story. But in that moment, when I saw key of David from my musical background, I said, it couldn't be. It couldn't be. It couldn't be. I mean, my wife's laughing already. She goes, I think I know what you're thinking. I said, what am I thinking? And she goes, it's a musical key. And you see, with all of that, everything started connecting. I was in a band with Jason Upton that was called Key of David. Durr, never thought about it before. My whole life, there's been this element of keys. I used to be, when I was a worship leader, people would bring me keys all the time. Old keys, rusty keys, new keys. They'd always bring this. The Lord just told me to give you this key. So all the while, God's trying to communicate with me, but I'm a little, you know, I'm a little short on the uptake sometimes. And so he was speaking through people and using images and all kinds of things to help me understand. But it wasn't until that one day that I read that scripture in Isaiah 22:22, and I thought, I understand the practical, biblical application of this story. I'm not debating that. But what if, just what if, what if it's not 440, and what if it's 444.4? What if it is? Just what if it is? What if I just double that, and that's really the key of A? And I know from history how David's, you know, harp was tuned. There's things that we do know. There's things that we don't know, obviously, about David's music. But we know that it was a derivative of A. And so all of a sudden I'm realizing that it was never A 440. But I think it's A44.4. And so that was the beginning of the whole trial and error, the whole wondering if this is really something that's been uncovered. You know, and people could say, well, that's just conjecture, that's esoterica. It can be anything that you want it to be, in the same way that people can twist scripture and make it say whatever they want it to say, and it's not necessarily what it says. I'm not saying that about Isaiah 22:22. I'm saying, right, what if there is a physical, which is the key that Shebna wore around his neck, that he was the caretaker of David's palace and could open the doors and shut the doors. But what if there's a prophetic significance to this? What if there is? What if there really is a key of David? And what would it do? What if the music that we're listening to today, that everybody thinks, you know, it's really funny when you're listening to worship in A equals 440 and you're realizing, man, that's really beautiful, but it's killing me. Are you with me? If it's a negative frequency, even though the music wrapped around it is beautiful, it's not good for the body. And that's what's so hard for us to understand, is that the root of 440 came from a group of people that exterminated 9 million Jews.
absolutely. In,
hold that thought.
Right on the other side, we got to get into this because, you folks, you've got to hear the history of this just briefly. Go ahead.
And if we can, I would like to get into the different uses of frequency, whether it is to change the Earth and its weather, the use of frequency for weapons now, and many others. We're talking with Michael Terrell, OldTonesMusicLive.com. We'll be right back. OldTonesLive.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.